Hey, welcome to the Meat House. Jeff here.
And Chris over here. We're back again.
We are back. And hey, you know, I'm sure those of us in the Midwest will get tired of hearing about this, but what a week it has been with the weather.
Oh my gosh.
Monday I started with, oh God, it is so brisk. Where did I put my damn hoodie?
You know? And then early morning, it was early, low 60s early in the morning.
Then right.
Low mid 70s later in the day.
And come Friday, I'm like, oh God, where the hell did I put my shorts?
Yeah, we're back. Starting off at 80s, going up to the 90s really quick here.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's September in the Midwest. And, you know, a couple of weeks back, we talked about fall flavors and getting ready for like fall and maybe even winter kind of ideas. And you know what we skipped, though?
Halloween.
My family, your family, it's like our favorite holiday.
Yeah, I mean, my wife,
stuff like that.
I have an entire storage locker I pay monthly for to put her Halloween decorations in.
I'm not surprised.
You shouldn't be, because, oh my God, I mean, I love my wife. Don't get me wrong, I love my wife, but I'm sitting here, dear, really?
Well, the stack of totes behind us in our garage where we are recording this, those are either Halloween or Christmas decorations, and I'm relatively certain within the next week or two we'll be sorting through to find out which.
Yeah, and it's all good. But Halloween is really big. It's the biggest holiday of the year in America. We love Halloween.
Yeah, it is. Because it's fun. You know, with other holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's just about, you know, family togetherness and getting together with relatives you don't see through the year, catching up.
Which is fine, except Halloween is just about party.
It's a party. And, you know, that party can take different shapes throughout your life. I mean, when I was in my 20s, it was, hey, let's put on a costume and go talk to drunk girls at a bar.
Yeah, well.
And now that I'm in my 40s and I have a kid.
And it's, 50s here.
We're going to go walk around the neighborhood. Maybe not as much as we usually do because my son is still recovering and he's doing a lot better, but he gets tired.
He's a trooper.
So we might just do like the three or four blocks around us.
And might want to look up for a couple of trunk or treats.
Those aren't necessarily a bad idea either. But I figure, you know, we usually do a little, like, we'll put a projector out in our backyard, driveway, where my wife and one of her friends will sit out and watch, like, the classic Addams Family on a big screen and hand out candy bars and stuff like that for the kids that come around.
And Netflix did have the new Wednesday series come out recently.
Yeah, I figured if that whole public performance thing, people are going to fight less about the
old Addams Family
than they are about, you know, brand new Netflix series. No,
fair enough.
Plus, I don't know, the tone of the Netflix series is, it's fun, but it's not the Addams Family I grew up with.
Yeah,
right.
I get you.
The idea of them having like beef with each other just strikes me as a little weird in times, you know?
It does. Back to what we're doing meat here. We're talking about Halloween meads or flavors.
And hey, before we get into that, we need to thank some people.
Bacchus and Barleycorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bacchus and Barleycorn, they have been supporting us for, geez.
Since I started.
Yeah, since we got started at this back in January. And they are a fantastic resource for all of your homebrew needs, whether it's ingredients, whether it's advice, whether it's the equipment. They are a great resource for anybody out there.
And even the supplies. I mean, I recently went they had toasted coconut flakes and dried sweet orange zest.
Yeah, I knew about the sweet orange zest.
I hadn't seen those in a while, but they're back.
Nice.
So,
guys, if you need, whether it's equipment, whether it's advice, whether it's what have you for all of your fermentation needs, whether it's the basic stuff like mead, which we specialize in, or beer or wine or cider, or even some of the more outside the box stuff like yogurt or cheese or kombucha or sake.
They're there to help you out, and they love doing it, and they're really affordable. If you want a little bit more of a discount on your online order, MHP10. Our discount code will get you an additional 10% off.
Right.
I got it right this time.
You did. Yeah. You've got to follow the links in the doobly-doo show notes there, and you can get to their website. The discount code is available for anybody that needs to use it. The other people we need to thank, of course, are
our listeners.
Because you guys tune in week after week, and I see, you know, those numbers are a slow, steady climb, which is always nice to see. Obviously, Chris and I make no money off of this ourselves.
But, you know, we we don't make money off this when we don't do this. So
Right.
what's the difference?
Yeah.
We're just enjoying more people.
The fact that it's getting out to people, that we are getting, you know, some engagement, that you guys are getting something useful out of this, hey,
It's
that's the
awesome.
reward for
Yeah,
us.
it really is. I mean, I love being able to teach. And I know you do too, because we've both done it a lot. But so this is just fun. But we do appreciate it. And coming up soon in the near future, Jeff, we're going to hammer this out in the near future, I hope. And we're going to reintroduce our key holder levels with
Patreon.
Patreon, our key holder Patreon, with prizes and things you can get from us. And you can help us support things. And maybe we can get other, visit meteries or get more information like you want and get more, help you out a little more, give you more information.
See what we can do to make this a valuable resource for you, and an even more valuable resource for you, and let you support the show.
Okay,
So.
excellent. So yeah. So the meat of the day. Now, because we're doing the fall thing, I brought one of my bottles of my apple pie mead. And I'm gonna actually give away the recipe that I use, the actual my card that I use at home for this recipe. So anybody wants to take this and see if they can make it their own or make it better or whatever, here you go. Here's get out your pen and paper and here's your chance.
By the same token, I have brought my recipe for my trick-or-treat mead, which is a sweet blackberry with a little capsaicin kick.
Oh,
And
I'm a little scared of that one, but I'm willing to try it.
well, it's I haven't made it in quite a while, and my wife is kind of similarly wimpy when it comes to spices like
Yeah.
you are, but she thought it was delightful.
And
So.
I'll be honest, anybody's listening right now, though, when Jeff told me what the trick in this thing was, I broke out in a light sweat because I remember the first episode I made on the show with him where I had a surprise bottle of capsaicin mead.
I think it was actually the second or third, but yeah,
I think it was really early.
really that first month or so we were running, and we said, "Hey, let's try some judging," and just
Oh, yeah, it was
off
a
the
judging.
cuff.
It was oh my, and this was a mystery bottle. The label was never on there at all. So, and I found out that I really sucked that
It did not smell like a pepper mead until we put it in our mouth and tasted that heat.
day.
And that was, like I've said many times before, there are two approaches to adding hot pepper to mead. There is the I'm going to add a little extra something something, which is what this candy, the trick or treat mead is. And then there's the I'm going to prank my friends and make them feel like bitches. And that's what this mystery bottle was.
And honestly, I mean, I've been around, I worked on Renaissance Festival for a number of years. And that way back in time, the SCA told me about one called Strawberry Surprise, where they put hot peppers in a bottle of vodka or Everclear and then put it in the sun till it turned pink. And then they strained out the peppers and they said, put a label on it said Strawberry Surprise. The surprise was there's no strawberry in it. And that was just mean.
Yeah, that's a dick thing to do.
Yeah, I mean,
That's a dick thing to do.
but
Well,
yeah.
hey, let's pop this meat open here.
There we go. Now this is I bottled this back in February, January, February. So it's had plenty of time to sit out.
You know what the ABV on this guy is?
It is 14 and a half.
Okay.
This is when I started to bring things down, from my very, very exuberant 18s.
So this is a dark amber. It's very
Now this it's
it
got that
looks like honey.
it looks like honey, it looks like a light honey, but the smell is very spicy.
Yeah, I get a lot of there's apple on the like the outsides and kind of the end note, but there is a lot of the clove and nutmeg and kind of those warm baking spices in there.
And shocking, there is a little bit of fresh ginger I put in this. Just a
Well,
hint.
okay. Let's give it a taste and see what we think.
Pretty smooth.
But yeah, that's from the like I take a breath and I have that kind of alcohol fume. Yeah, no, that's a little higher ABV, but I don't taste that alcohol.
No, it's very sweet. I mean, the spices and the apple is very, and the honey is very dominant. And the only reason you're going to know it's alcoholic is when you breathe in with an empty mouth after drinking it.
Right, exactly. The How do I want to describe this flavor? I think it's alcohol, not alcohol. I think it's apple and honey up front and front and center, as should be,
It should be. It should be.
but the spices come in kind of around the hard, I'm sorry, the hard palate and the mid palate there, And they play nicely with each other, and they're not overly dominant, but they are good secondary players. I get a little bit of the ginger right on like the middle point of my tongue. It's like that little bit of gingery burn kind of tripeness
I
to it.
personally like how this aged out because I put more cinnamon in here than any other spice, but it's the support of all the others. I like that. Now, as promised, I'm going to give you the recipe now, the actual recipe from my card catalog. And this is my apple cider mead. And I've reduced the ABV down to between 12 and 13%. Now, I start with 2 gallons, and I put this in a 3 gallon container. I pared it down to this so I could, you can make your own size. Take a 3 gallon container, you need 2 gallons of apple cider. I use Lewisburg cider. If you have access to that, I can't find a better one. And I use honey to get it up to 1.100 specific gravity. And after that, I slice, I freeze 2 to 3 pounds of apples. I'll core them, slice them thin, and freeze them. And then I'll add this to the mixture after I've mixed the honey and the apple cider together. After that, I'm going to put a one package of 71B yeast with 6 grams of GoFerm, 3 grams of Fermate O, and 1.5 teaspoons of peptic enzyme because I have apples in there. I'm going to need the peptic enzyme. And I'm going to ferment it till I get it as far down as I can go. I mean, until there's nothing left for the yeast to eat. And yes, I put a lot of yeast in that. For a 2 gallon batch, 5 grams is a lot, but I don't want to have a half packet of yeast on my shelf either, so I use the whole thing. Now, I let that go completely dry. And if you were to taste it at this point, I will tell you it is sharply dry. Secondary is where after I've racked it over and filtered it, at least racked it over, I'm going to drop 4 cinnamon sticks, 8 whole cloves, 1.5 teaspoons of nutmeg, 1.5 teaspoons of allspice, and 1 inch of fresh ginger sliced thinly. Because I want to get as much ginger out of that root piece that I have. It's peeled ginger. I do peel off the skin. I put all that in a bag and I drop it in. No more than 2 weeks, but I usually take out about day 5 or 4 to 6. I taste it regularly till I get. I'm starting to really feel the spice in my tongue. And then I'll yank it and I will let it sit for a couple of days after that. And then I will filter bottle. I'll filter sweeten and bottle. And my honey that I use about, this is pretty sweet. I used about 2.5 cups of honey in this was, but this was a 7 gallon batch. That's what I used at the time. I didn't write that down because I have to taste because it's going to be different every time.
Right. You always back sweeten the taste because, I mean, you're ultimately the judge of how your stuff comes out. You can't just
But
say.
this is above semi-sweet and not really high on sweet, in my opinion.
I think it has the mouthfeel is there. There is a decent amount of honey in this. There's a decent amount of sweetness in this. Part of the reason that you get away with it not tasting like very sweet is the fact that you've got the apples providing a good amount of acid and you got the ginger providing a little bite there. Those contrast nicely to bring this into that. Yeah, it's on the higher end of semi-sweet, I would say.
But that is my direct recipe for my card. And I invite any of you out there to try it. Give us some feedback. And this is a, now I said, I put these 2 gallons of cider and the honey into a 3 gallon batch. There's going to be a lot of headroom. But that's okay.
I mean, you're working with whole fruit, you kind of need some headroom
I
there.
need some space there and need headroom. When you do it, the thing that shocked me the first time I did this particular one, when I put actual fruit in my batch, the fruit never turned dark. It just stayed the same color as it ever had been. And I stirred it periodically to gas it and to do all those things that necessary to
You
keep
want
it.
to punch that fruit down and keep it wet so
Keep
it
it wet,
doesn't
yeah.
get moldy and crud like
Gross,
that.
because that would be horrible. But this is actually, despite the length of this little recipe card, it's easy. I didn't try hard here, but the better your apple cider, the better it's going to be, because that's what you're adding to.
Makes perfect sense to me. You start with quality ingredients, you get a better quality end result.
But I will tell you, the honey itself was straight, it was straight base honey from the Sam's Club or Costco in my case.
And honestly, I think the one I'm going to share here in a minute, Same idea. The honey is not a dominant flavor. It is there for sweetness and it is there for the fact that it is mead. It doesn't need to be any kind of varietal because blackberry is going to be the star of this show.
Yeah, and blackberry I love. It's my favorite one.
Who doesn't love blackberry?
I don't
There's a
know.
reason blackberry meads are so prolific
Yeah.
in the market, the industry, because
Yeah, and they are literally, if you, pardon me, if you look up anybody out there and you know, well, I use the king of fruit, they know you mean blackberry. They know you mean blackberry. Because that's the only one that gets that
So without further ado,
Yes.
this is my trick or treat mead, and maybe I should call it a trick and treat mead because it's a little bit of both. We're going to start with 3 pounds of frozen blackberries, and I thought about increasing this to four, like we talked about. Has anything ever been too fruity? And dealer's choice. If you want to bump it from three to four, go for it. But when I did this, I used three. We're going to do about 1 gallon of water. We're going to do a gram of OptiGred, half a teaspoon of pectic enzyme, and 0.2 grams of rouge berry. This is just to enhance our the color, the flavor, the tanninity of the blackberry to really bring that strong and to the fore. So we're going to start with those berries. And what I do every time I'm using whole berries, freeze, thaw, squish, freeze, thaw, squish, at least twice. This is the published recipe I'm going to provide is for a single gallon. You could scale up as needed because you just multiply by however many you want to do. 3, 5, 10, 20.
And when I did mine, I had to scale mine down to 2 gallons and do the math because, well, I wanted to do a 2 gallon batch simply because love it to start with. And two, I have everything from 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, and 10 gallon fermenting buckets. So if you get 1 gallon, it's easy math.
Realistically, almost every recipe I'm going to share on this podcast is going to be for a base 1 gallon because it's easy to multiply. The only I'm sorry, the only exception to that I'm going to make is probably going to be like beery braggity recipes because it's scale wise, those are usually 5 and most everybody just does 5 gallons. So we'll do 5 gallons. But anyway, this is for 1 gallon, but we are going to ferment it in a 2 gallon like food safe bucket because again we need headroom, we need space, we're putting a lot of fruit in here for good reason. We'll start with the bulk of our honey, add 1 gallon of water and mix those up, and then
If you haven't heard before, spring water is your choice.
spring water is my choice. You want it non-chlorinated, but you do want the minerality of spring water. You don't want to go like distilled or
Reverse
reverse osmosis
osmosis.
or anything like that. You
I will get reverse osmosis water, but I will put the minerals back in.
Right, it's how you want the minerals, the calcium,
Whatever is in there, you
yeah,
want it there.
especially calcium, but I think the a trace amount of like magnesium is also helpful, things like that. Those really round out and improve the flavor of your water. It's
And you wouldn't know until you do it both ways, and I have.
Anyway, so we're going to take the bulk of our honey, our water, we're going to mix it up until we get around about where we want to be. And then we're going to introduce those blackberries. We're going to put those in a mesh bag and we're going to stir. And the blackberry juice has some sugar in it, has a lot of water in it. It might dilute that a little bit. So we're going to wait until we hit our get our blackberries really well integrated into that mush before we add a little bit more honey to get to our target gravity. In this case, I'm shooting for 1095.
So just about 12.
Right. This is going to be a 12%er. I base this on our 12% recipe with some, fudges and stuff there. Once we get to 12, or sorry, once we get to 1095 for that 12% expected gravity, we're going to add the yeast slurry. You'd want to rehydrate with GoFirm again. This time, instead of using 71B, we're going to use RC212.
Okay. Why?
RC212 is a Bourgogne yeast. I think I'm saying that right. If I'm not, sorry. French is not one of the many languages I've spoken and since forgotten. But it is a red grape that is known for color stability and for enhancing the flavor of reds. So I think it's a good choice in this case. So we get that nice deep red, ruby red flavor from those blackberries.
Give me that pin over there. I'm going to write that one down for my when I do my blackberry again, my blackberry vanilla again, because I've been using 71B and I don't if I can get keep that color a little bit better. Thank you.
Yeah, RC212 is a good color stability option from what I've heard. I've used it a little bit, but this is another one of those. I'm going to double check this on my side by doing this batch. So that was my thought process there. So yeah, you're going to want to do 2 grams at least per gallon of the RC212 yeast. To that, you're going to add 2.5 grams of GoFirm and get warm, slightly over room temperature water, usually 50 milliliters, half a cup, something small like that, and just let that start and get going while you're doing everything else. We're going to add that yeast slurry to our mixed berries and honey and water, along with our OptiRed and half a teaspoon of pectin enzyme. That way the pectin gets started, the OptiRed is getting going in there too. OptiRed is going to enhance the color and the fruit flavor. That's a it's an inactivated yeast product, if I'm not mistaken. And then basically we're going to handle this like any other ferment. We're going to break up the nutrients into four feeds of 2.11 grams each, and we're going to do those at 24 hours after we see airlock activity, 48, 72, and then when we hit the one-third sugar break of 1.063. If you get to those fast, then feed fast.
You're only giving nutrients to the yeast. You're not hurting a thing.
Right. Yeah. If
If you do a little bit early, a little bit late, it's not going to hurt a lot, but it's better if you do it pretty close on time.
the idea is to slow it down so it doesn't just go nuts and get, real hot and crazy. But if it's already going nuts, feed it. Better to feed it than, let it go without nutrient, right?
Because then you're risking some off flavors.
But with that first addition at the 24-hour mark, that's where we're going to add our 0.2 grams of rouge berry. That's the tannins. That way they get the yeast gets started doing their thing before the tannins are added. And those tannins are going to be like sacrificial tannins, essentially. Those are going to help improve the flavor and the berry kind of character of this as well. So we're going a little high tech with this recipe with some additions, but that's kind of the end result. There's not a lot you need to worry about here above and beyond that.
I'm not worried about the high tech. I'm worried about the last ingredient.
The last ingredient is going to take some time. We're going to go through standard primary, secondary right before we bottle. We're going to stabilize. We're going to back sweeten to get the sweetness level we want. And in this case, I'm going to go sweeter than usual here. I'm going to go like sweet, if not the very high end of semi-sweet. I would go sweeter than the apple pie that we're drinking right now, in fact, because I want the sweetness and the blackberry to come through 100%.
And
Then,
sweetness is what brings your fruit flavors forward, guys. I mean, we've talked about
absolutely.
this before.
If it's not sweet, it's not going to taste right. It just isn't. So I want to emphasize that. I wanted this to be borderline candy sweet, to be honest, because the next thing we're going to do,
So I was thinking you were going to say there on that one, yeah.
Because we're going to, on it for this part, honestly, guys, wear some gloves.
Goggles. Hazmat suit, because it scares me to death.
You can get cheap nitrile gloves at like Costco or Harbor Freight. Do it. If you the first the When I did this, I accidentally rubbed my eye and I was in pain for a solid 10 minutes.
Okay, now he hasn't told you this power yet, and I'm gonna let him say it, but I am in my chair, rocking back and forth, my eyes closed right
The
now.
final ingredient we're going to add is one half of one Carolina Reaper. So put on gloves. You want to de-seed, de-stem, and de-vein this guy. The white inside part, don't need it, doesn't taste good, just has more heat. Seeds, full of heat. Stem, green stuff, you don't want green stuff
Then
flavors.
stuff anyway, yeah.
And then we're going to take a sewing needle and some unwaxed dental floss, just pierce it right through so you get a good long length, and you can just dip that whole half of a pepper into your meat. Contact time on this is not long. When I did this, about 2 hours was where I got the intended amount of capsaicin. 2 hours
Hours. Oh my gosh. So,
for
this is one of those few times in mead making. Put yourself on the clock, man.
This is don't go out and run errands. You gotta need to watch this part.
Don't even start your Pilates or yoga or anything. Just sit there and look at that thing for 2 hours going, oh my God, what am I doing? Because that's exactly what I'm going to say.
Now, if you can't get Carolina Reaper, you could probably substitute one or two habaneros. Treat them the same way,
Yeah.
destem, peel.
And the short answer is, if you're not sure, taste it.
Taste frequently at this part because oh my God. And the idea here is that we're gonna have a sweet mead that tastes sweet on the tongue. But then once you kind of get to that mid palate to the swallow, you get a little, oh, that has a little heat to it. And it's not like an unpleasant heat like the mystery mead we drank,
Yeah.
but it's a little something that goes, oh, hey.
Hello, good morning. We last time we talked about a couple of episodes ago, we talked about the Mountain Dew mead. I made a point. I do not add caffeine to alcohol. It's just a bad idea all the way around. This is as close as I get. This is as close as I'd get to adding a surprise or wake me up in alcohol.
I'm not even sure the level of spice I'm going for here is not even necessarily a wake up. It's like a, oh hey,
Yeah.
what is that?
Oh, hey, sexy. Yeah. I know what you're going for, but
Yeah, and
I admit I'm scared.
once you hit the pepper level you're looking for, and honestly, if you want to prank your friends, we could easily just,
Leave the pepper in
use a
the
whole pepper for a day and a half, and we'll rename this from Trick or Treat to Flaming Bag of Dog Crap.
Oh my gosh, no, I can't. Oh my God, no. Ah, the narrows, the narrows.
But once you get to that heat level, we're going to do the standard practice. We're going to finer filter as you like. We're going to bottle it up, and we're going to call it good.
Yeah.
That's the recipe right there.
And honestly, if it's just a mild hint of heat in there, I would enjoy it. I'll be blunt.
Right.
I mean, I call myself a horrible wuss, but I can handle a little
Yeah, my wife is not a spice person, just generally not. But I made this years and years ago. At one point, I think my intention was to submit it to the Susan Rude from is it Mountain Rose? It's not Mountain Rose. Susan Rude does a Halloween themed brewing competition, or it did at the time. I'm pretty sure she still does. And my intent, I think, was to submit it there, but it just wasn't ready in time. So we ended up with a gallon's worth of bottles that we drank ourselves. And my wife was,
Happy Halloween homebrew competition. Yeah, our homebrew competition. Happy Halloween challenge. Yeah, there it is.
So yeah, the Happy Halloween challenge. We'll pick up from here. The Happy Halloween challenge, yeah, it looks like it is still being held. It's Fargo, North Dakota, where Susan's from. And my intent was to submit it for that, and it just wasn't ready in time. I had a lot of blackberry in there, got to get the flavor right. And, timing is a bitch.
Yeah,
So.
and that's why I've said many times in previous episodes, if you want to put something out there you want ready, start almost a year in advance.
The trick is that year in advance, I don't think the capsaicin is going to last a full year.
That's a shame.
So, maybe give yourself 6 months. I think I gave myself three and it wasn't enough time. But
There you go.
that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
The end result, though, I had a spicy pepper mead, not very spicy, that my wife adored. And my wife is a kind of a wuss too. She's not a pepper person.
See,
When
that's
we
why we get
go,
along.
yeah, when we go to a Mexican restaurant or we go buy salsa, it's mild or medium only,
Yeah.
and that's fine.
Medium, boy, she's tough.
Well, depends on the company, depends on what their definition of medium means.
I'm just.
Mateo's salsa over at Costco is a medium. It's not that hot, but oh my God, there's enough garlic in there to kill a horse. And it's the most delightful stuff. We will buy that in medium. Not every other, salsa company we will buy in medium, but
All right,
Mateo's,
completely
yes.
off subject here. There's a garlic dip they have at Costco you might want to try. It's just garlic, water, lemon, salt. That's
So,
it.
tomb, yeah.
Yeah, toom. Yeah, that was it. I got myself my first tub of it a couple of days ago. Oh my God, I can't stop eating this. Yeah,
Love a good garlic dip, man.
it's good stuff.
Make some grilled chicken, throw that on there. Oh, hell yes. Anyway,
Halloween meats. No, that's our two offerings to you about Halloween meat. There's a bunch. You can make a pumpkin spice meat by simply using just the spice that you use in pumpkin pie, put it in a bag, drop it in your traditional,
Yeah, absolutely.
and that'd be just fine.
And
Now, once you start doing it, drop it in secondary, you need to taste frequently. I mean,
yeah.
every 12, 14 hours or so, because you don't know what's going to happen. If it's a capsaicin, like he said, a couple hours, and you're probably going to be pretty good.
Right. And it's, And depending on the spices, some of those go quick and some of those go hard. And some of those, if you overdo it, you're overdoing it by a lot. Clove is one of those that will settle out from my experience, but it is not pleasant if you overdo it.
Yeah. Now, when I mentioned my two spices of nutmeg and allspice, that was ground. Because I put so little in there because I'm not getting it all out. It'll funnel through the bag. It'll
Yeah.
be sitting at the bottom. That's
Right, right,
fine.
right.
I don't mind that. But my whole cloves, my cinnamon sticks, they are in a bag because I need to get them out.
You wouldn't want to use ground clove in that.
No, I
No.
mean, I don't want that much oil in there because clove is very, it will quickly take over. It's all the ginger. That's why I use only 1 inch finger and slice it thin.
Right.
And keep it in the bag so you can pull it out and when you want, because the nutmeg and allspice, they may put a hint more of that you want in it, but believe me, if you age it out, nobody's going to mind.
Realistically, yeah, the ground stuff, once you rack to another, once you rack to like another container before you back sweeten and all that, you're going to leave most of that in the lees at the bottom anyway. It's not a big deal. And they're not such a an overpowering thing anyway. A little bit more contribution from them isn't going to hurt. Like a lot more clove will really kick your butt. So the other thing I thought would be fun to talk about here, considering we did soda meats a few weeks back, I don't know if you ever saw this trend, but there are a number of like YouTube content creators and a few guys on like Facebook and Reddit and stuff doing that were doing a few years back, I think, candy meats.
You told me about this, but I didn't. Candy is just sugar and a flavor.
Right.
So that's, add honey to it, it's a mead, that's fine. But I'm of the mindset still. Why aren't you just putting the flavors in, not the candy itself?
Well, and we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But I mean, there was this trend going on for a while where people took, like, for example, Jolly Ranchers or Skittles,
Yeah, I
and
actually heard about the Jolly Rancher part.
you take those. Obviously, we're talking about unwrapping an ungodly ton
Number of.
of little individual pieces of candy or bits or bobs or whatever. I think just buying a bulk bag of Skittles would be easiest to, at that point. But then you don't get the. One of these cases, somebody was trying to make a watermelon meat by using only watermelon Jolly Ranchers, for example, which the watermelon flavor in watermelon Jolly Ranchers doesn't read as watermelon. It reads as fake watermelon to me.
Yeah, I mean,
Kind of the same way like a strawberry milkshake from a fast food restaurant
it is a fake strawberry flavor.
it tastes reminiscent of strawberry, but it's not
And we've
strawberry.
actually talked about watermelon before. I mean, if
Yeah.
you use pureed watermelon as your base and threw honey and yeast in there, it probably like it tastes like watermelon at the end of it.
No, yeah, it's such a light flavor. So I understand the logic of wanting to use a watermelon Jolly Rancher candy because that flavor is going to survive. But yeah, we're talking about a lot of candy. Basically, what they would do is they would put that in water. They would boil it until the candy broke down to,
Liquid.
yeah, dissolved into the water, and then they add honey, ferment, and go. And
Varying degrees of excess, I assume.
yeah, I can't remember anybody that like made it for a video or whatever being like, oh my God, this is the best meat I've ever tasted. And I this is
Never saw
forever,
that coming.
yeah, this is forever on the list. I think it was more in the spirit of, well, let's try it and see what happens,
Yeah,
you know.
that's legit.
And
I
I've
mean, I
seen
will never say no to people giving, give, doing the, let's take, let's try it, give us a try.
And there might be fun ideas there, like Warhead sour candies could be an interesting idea. Like making a sweet tart mead, like that is hard on the sweet and the tart. Yeah, okay,
I mean,
I'll hear it out. I don't necessarily want to try this myself,
we talked
but
about sour meats a while back too, so yeah.
I mean, I can't see making a dry mead sour. You would need to have some sweetness to balance it.
Yeah.
And it's in that same kind of sweet and tart balance flavor idea that I think a number of these that are interesting to me anyway lie. And again, I'm probably not going to try any of these like candied meats by myself, but I know a number of people who have tried it and they've gotten varying degrees of success. The other idea that I had was much in the same spirit of that soda meat episode we did a few weeks back, candy inspired meats, because you have that peanut tincture.
Yeah. And it came out surprisingly well. I mean,
Yeah.
I tasted it with you.
When we diluted it,
It was actually pretty
you
good.
got that great roast peanut flavor.
And it wasn't even roasted peanuts.
What if we got a, what if we made a chocolate bean with some cacao nibs and we added that peanut tincture to make a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup inspired mead?
Oh, I hope my wife doesn't hear this show. That's her candy of choice
I
right there.
that's a lot of people's candy of choice. I think that's my entire household candy of choice, which is where that idea came from in the first place.
Well, yeah, we could do that. I mean, actually, I'll be honest, Jeff. I may take a little corner of your basement over here, putting gallon jars that I'm going to try for the show here, right there, because I'm looking right. You've done some cleanup where we're at right now. There's a space here, and now I want to fill it. I know,
Shaking my fist at this man.
use my own basement. I got you. All right, so if you want to do Halloween flavored candy meads, I mean, I've actually spent a little bit of time while Jeff was talking and looked up some, like candy corn is sugar, honey, vanilla, and butter. Do you know how to get butter flavor in mead? Because I don't. But vanilla is easy. I have a vanilla tincture at home. Honey is what we're making this with.
You know, there are imitation butter extracts that
Okay.
might not be a bad idea. We could also check, like, let's give our friends Amaretti a look.
Amaretti, yeah, I like. The more I look at Amaretti, the more I'm just impressed. I'll be honest. And anybody out there says you got to use the actual thing to make the. No, you don't.
Amaretti uses the actual thing for a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, and that's cool. But if you can get the flavor you want, I don't care how you got it. I'll be honest. I mean, like we said with the peanut butter tincture I made that we tried a little bit back, it tastes like roasted peanuts, but they weren't roasted. They were powdered peanuts. So, is there a butter?
There's an extract oil. I don't like the idea of adding oil. There is a butter rum compound, a butter pecan compound. Buffalo butter extract, water soluble. Butter extract, water soluble.
There it is.
16 bucks for a little 2 ounce jar.
And that'll go a long ways, to be honest, guys.
Because I can't imagine it would take very much of a like a flavor extract to get to a flavor, especially if we're doing this in
Like
like
a gallon.
right.
Yeah, you
You
should be, measure by milliliters, like you said earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. No, get one of those little 10 milliliter the the thing you use to give kids liquid medicines from your pharmacy and
Yeah.
milliliter by milliliter, guys. I can't imagine you'd use more than a half an ounce of this
Yeah,
to
if
get
you
a
use that much,
gallon.
I'd be stunned. But that's for if you want candy corn mead. That's legit. I mean, I'm a big proponent of don't use the medium like I said with Mountain Dew or even Dr. Pepper. Use the flavors of and run with that.
And I mean, vanilla, honey, sugar, those are easy enough to get. We know how to do that.
Yeah, and vanilla. Yeah, okay. I recommend if you're doing mead making, I recommend you use natural vanilla. If you're going to cook with it, I don't care. Use anything you want because when you cook it, you can't taste the difference. Even professional chefs can't taste the difference between imitation and real vanilla after you baked something.
Now, part of the thing that they're talking about here for the butter is not necessarily the butter flavor as much as the creamy quality to it. So we might want to look at like lactose for like a
Lactose powder
mouthfeel
could do
and
that right there. Yeah, you're right. But and I just looked that up right there. Now, other Halloween flavors include pumpkin, or the pumpkin spice. You don't have to use pumpkin, like I'm trying to do, and I've failed many times, and I've talked about it earlier. But you can use, the pumpkin spice latte you get from coffee houses has no pumpkin.
Zero pumpkin. It's all the
It's
spices.
all the spices, which is clove, allspice, and cinnamon, and that's all you need.
Maybe a little cardamom.
Maybe a little cardamom
Yeah.
there.
They're, everybody has their own particular blend of this, but it's generally the big four and then, some tertiary stuff. You could throw in ginger, you could throw in cardamom, you could throw in like grains of paradise maybe, but the big four are there and they're the ones that are
That's what
star of the
everybody's going
show.
to remember. And then you have caramel. We talked about toasted honey before.
Caramel apple.
Who doesn't like a caramel apple?
That's so Halloween,
That is so Halloween. That is, and I remember my own family. You don't eat that caramel apple so fast, your teeth will come out in the apple. I don't know if you ever had that, but my parents told me that.
When I had loose teeth, my parents encouraged me to eat apples for that purpose.
But there you go. But there's nothing you cannot do Halloweeny. You can't do in mead. And, like Jeff said earlier, the capsaicin may not last a year. All these other things will. No problem.
Worst case, you end up sitting on some really sweet, delicious blackberry mead, and maybe you don't want to drink like a bunch of it, or you take it out for a dinner party and share it in small glasses across the table, because it is sweet. It's a little, the end of the meal kind of digestif, if you will.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's good. Make good meat, guys.
Yeah, but and those the maple. Now, I actually have a friend, my friend Brian, tried to make a maple mead.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
And he, when he finished fermenting, there was no maple flavor left. He had to add
Right.
maple to it to have the maple flavor. But you, I didn't know that was going to happen. This is something I learned at the time. You knew it.
Yeah. No, and it's not like I've tried making maple meats before, but I've heard enough people talk about it that when, like, oh yeah, no, maple is not a flavor that lasts if you remove the sugar from it.
Yeah.
You kind of need to add that for back sweetening and,
And that's fine,
right.
But but here's one that I've done before, and Jeff helped me. This is one of my very first batches of just wine, not mead, I made, was the chili chocolate.
Yeah.
You remember when I did that? That was 12, 13 years ago, something
Something
like
like that,
that.
yeah.
But chili and chocolate work beautifully together. And you do the same principle. You put it in a bag, even the dried chilies you get at the grocery store,
Yeah.
put it in a bag, put it in your meat, let it rehydrate. And as it's doing that, it's going to put that chili flavor there, even if it's not spicy hot.
Right.
And then the cow nibs that I have a 4 pound container of at home. And I've been guilty of going, what does that taste like? Oh, okay, this ain't bad. And I chewed on it. It
Yeah.
was pretty good.
No, good counter. Tastes nice. It does.
But I made my strawberry chocolate and my banana chocolate with the cacaos. It's a deep, rich flavor in the meat. And it quickly, people, when they said, well, that sounds weird. Oh, this is pretty good. Yeah, it is.
And it, I think at some point we're going to want to talk about Christmas meats too,
Yeah,
because
we're going to do that soon because everybody skips over Thanksgiving because I don't know what to make for a Thanksgiving meat.
we already talked about fall flavors. I think we hit all the bases on fall
Yeah, but we're
flavors,
going
by
to
the way.
talk about Christmas because Christmas is, oh my gosh, there's so much we can do with Christmas flavors.
Oh yeah, I mean, you obviously can still comfortably use all the fall flavors we talked about a couple episodes back, but Christmas is its own special beast because you've got your time off. It's a great time for family gatherings because, like I said before, much like Thanksgiving, this is where you have the extended family in the house, and or you travel to extended family, and it's just nice to say, hey, here's a little bottle of something something we can share, because nights are long. And it's cold, and you've got warmth and togetherness, and people just chatting around the fire or the kitchen table. And who doesn't like a little table to ease the conversation and just have some fun?
And Jeff and I have both done this. I have never asked this, Jeff. I know he's done it because I've done it too. Hey, I brought you a gift, and here's a bottle of mead. And people have never said, oh, that's a horrible idea. They, oh, really? I need to find a corkscrew.
I have had one person decline a bottle of mead from me. It was from the first batch I made. The first batch I made was while I was in grad school, and I went to dinner at my advisor's house, my thesis advisor for my master's. He was a vegan,
Oh, ouch, ouch.
and I kind of forgot that vegans don't eat honey.
Don't eat honey.
So he looked at it and was like, "Oh, well, thank you." And he handed it to his wife, and she's like, "Oh, thank you." I don't think she was a vegan. Although she was probably vegetarian, I don't think she was necessarily like
Vegetarians can have this.
vegetarians could have mead. But she's like, "Oh, should we open this?" It's like, I don't really want any because I can't. It's honey. I'm like, oh shit, I kind of retreated to talk to my colleagues in the other room. Like, God,
I
what
messed
a
up.
faux
I messed
pas!
up. I hope I passed. No,
I still got that degree.
but I'll tell you, I've had it. We've had it in my experience and Jeff's experience through me. We've had a couple people that are vegan. I said, "Would you like to try this? It is mead. It has honey in it." And they go, "Let me take a taste." And then they didn't give it back.
I would argue that the ruling against eating honey as a vegan does not make a lot of sense. And I am not a vegan. I'm not planning on becoming a vegan. I take a very stewardship focused thought process when it comes to, my pets, the chickens I have in the backyard. They are their own creatures. I am there to care for them. I take legal responsibility if, like, if Chris walks onto my yard and my dog freaks out and bites him, I'm the one going to court for that. But it's the
No,
dog.
he's not. He's really not. But But I get it.
Yeah, the dog is the one that made that choice and probably made that choice for a good reason, because I would trust my dog over 99% of the human population any day of the week.
And I won't
That
hold
said,
that
my job is to care for them and let them live their best life. Bees are very much the same thing as a beekeeper. I know most beekeepers, that at least the small scale guys, not the huge, honey industry guys, are very much the same way. They're amazing creatures that are fun to interact with. Yeah, let's go with the bottle.
There you go, man.
And at the end of the day, the bees are trading, the effort we spend caring and managing them for excess honey that they weren't going to necessarily use anyway.
I'm told, and check me if I'm wrong here, Jeff, that removing a little bit of honey from the hive from the bees is a good thing for them.
It can be depending on the context. Hives can, so when you look at a hive, when you look at a honeybee hive, there are three things that they are putting in those combs. Obviously, the one we care about is
So,
honey. The other thing they're putting in there,
wax
sometimes,
the comb.
well, the wax is part of the comb.
Okay.
We're not going to count the wax, but the wax is a byproduct that we can definitely take. Same with propolis. The other thing that they are putting in there is pollen. Pollen is their protein source.
Okay.
That's and they need that, especially for making little bees, right? Everything needs protein to grow. Fact of life. So there is a, if you look at the core of a hive, though, that there's a little layer of protein inside the outer shell of the honey stores, and in the very center of that is
Larva.
brood. Yeah,
Yeah.
the baby bees. And the queen, the queens will lay 1,000 eggs a day if they're, if they have the space. The problem is, the better a hive is, the more workers there are. And the more workers there are, the more they go, oh, there's a honey flow. We need to go get this nectar. Let's get this nectar.
Yeah, they need honey just to eat.
There is a condition, and I've faced it as a small scale beekeeper myself, called honeybound, where they have so much honey, they have no room to put baby bees and larvae and the protein and stuff, and they're just kind of stuck because the there is a constant cycle. Bees in the working season live maybe 5 or 6 weeks.
So
Tops.
they literally work themselves to
They
death.
work themselves to death. And if there is not a constant, like, rehatching, building up to that level, they will crash. Their population just dies out because they don't replace fast enough. So in those cases, absolutely is removing
Takes some
frames
heating
of
out so they
honey
have
out.
room to do what they need to do.
Yeah, if you can put like empty comb that you've already extracted honey from in there in its place, you are saving their lives, literally. That said, there are also honey producers out there that are less ethical and will take all the damn honey they can and then maybe feed sugar syrup to get their bees through the winter.
And which is
And
not good for
it's better than nothing, but I would rather they have the honey.
that they made, yeah.
Right. It has all of those little the small amounts of nutrients and the things that are that make bee food, as opposed to just
Sugar water.
right. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go back now. The flavors of Halloween: pumpkin, apple, caramel, cinnamon spice, candy corn, taffy. These things are all fall flavors, and you can actually spend, 2 minutes on Google and find out what the flavor is.
Sure.
You can add mint, you can do, and I've just given you my apple pie recipe. If that's not a fall recipe, I can't help you. I really can't.
Right.
I'm working on my pumpkin. If I ever, this is my current white whale. If I ever manage to beat my pumpkin meat recipe, I will gladly share it with all of you. Because oh man,
For sure, dude. I
it's
mean,
kicking my butt. But
you
maybe.
said this is a basic honey that you used here, like a, big box store honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we're talking about getting good honey, not the cheap stuff you can get at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You make sure you get real honey, but we could also just bouchet this to make a caramel apple.
There you go.
This one more thing that we can do, that again, caramel apples, what's more Halloween than caramel
There's
apple?
nothing more Halloween
Right.
than caramel. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you look into the classic old school Halloween stuff, there are so many references to caramel, bobbing for apples, caramel apple marathons, races. I mean, there's caramel apple everywhere.
I mean, apple is the fruit that grew this country, I would argue. That there, They were everywhere. They are still very prevalent. I mean, yeah, no.
But and chili chocolate, I talked about. Chili chocolate. I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan of it because it was meh to me.
Right.
But I had no problem finding people that loved it.
I think we could riff on that for Christmas though. I think the idea of a Mexican hot chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be something. I didn't think of that one. But yeah, so we've wrapped up with Halloween here.
I think so.
Maybe in an episode or two we'll talk about Christmas because, guys, we're in mid-September right now
Right.
when this comes out. You're not going to have a batch ready for Christmas, more than likely. It's
Probably not
and you're
unless.
pushing it pretty hard.
I mean, honestly, if I were gonna say, hey, the kind of stuff that I want to drink for Christmas is heavier, higher ABV, that's you're not gonna pull that in a
You're
few
not going to
months.
pull it off in the few months we have. However, not even if you use the Quebec yeast. I mean, if you manage to keep it heated,
If you
you'll
went
be
like a,
pushing it.
yeah, if you want to go like a session style, something nice and sweet and use a Kvike and put it next to your furnace in the house just to get the extra warmth there, maybe you've got a chance, but
It's dicey at best, guys.
this is a plan
But
ahead kind of a thought process.
this came up because it's fall now. We're coming into fall, and we thought, hey, this is something we can talk about.
Right. And like we said at the start, Halloween is like both of our family's favorite holiday just to
Without a doubt.
participate in. No shade on Christmas or Thanksgiving. They're great holidays, and I love my extended family and seeing faces I haven't seen the rest of the year. But Halloween is so much fun. It's the one that I really delight in being a little gremlin for a day, you know?
And by the way, I recently answered a message from a guy in Europe. He's enjoying the show. Thank you for writing in. We really appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
And I hope we're giving you some kind of write us back and tell us what you want to hear about because I think honestly, looking back at the episodes I have in the last few days, we've covered a lot. You can be a pretty good meme maker just what we've gone so far.
I would like to think so, yeah. I think we still I think at the end of the day, we also have one more recipe, like one more base recipe we need to share because we've covered 8%, we've covered 12%. Looking forward, I think we do need to cover a 16% too, just
16%
because
review. Yeah, we'll do that one.
there are
And
reasons we might want a higher ABV, even though I think 12 to 14, I think is the sweet spot for
it's pretty good.
flavor.
Yeah.
But there are reasons you might want a higher ABV, so I think we should throw that out and talk about some of those reasons.
And I'll be honest with you guys, I did the 18 for a little, well, too damn long. I can't think of a good reason. I can't. If you can do it, if 18 is what makes it better, I bet you I can make a better one with 16, 12. I'll bet you I can.
You know what the best thing for 18% mead does? If you need a reason for me to sleep, one glass of that's generally enough for me. Oh, okay, I'm gonna go find a pillow. I'm sleepy.
Well, because I'm a little more rugged, it takes me like a glass and a quarter. But hey, come back and do this again. We're gonna look into this Christmas thing, in
I
this.
think so. I think we'll chase some ideas up the old chimney there and see what falls
Yeah,
out.
how appropriate. Take care, everybody. Good meeting.